I'll just go through some preliminaries. So I'll formally declare this meeting of the Camden Local Planning Panel open. My name is Stuart McDonald and I'm the independent chair of this meeting for the 16th of March 2021. The panel is being held in accordance with the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act 1979, and the meeting is being held via electronic means due to the imposition of the COVID-19 restrictions currently imposed by the New South Wales government. Notwithstanding, the meeting is being held electronically. That it is being held electronically, it is a formal public meeting. Today we're dealing with one development application only. The meeting will be recorded by the council, but no other electronic recording of the panel meeting is authorised. So please desist if you are thinking of doing that. No electronic media may be used during the meeting or for the purpose of recording, as I said. When you are called to speak, if you could make sure that your mobile phone is off or on silent. Thank you. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which the panel conducts its planning panel meeting today, and normally outside of the COVID-19 restrictions. Today we have a full panel. There are no apologies received. The panel members for today, there's four of us in total. In addition to myself, there is Debbie Dewberry, who is the council's community rep on the panel, and there are two other independent members in addition to myself, are Rachel Harrison, who's an expert member, and Grant Christmas, who is an expert member. The panel is supported today or assisted today by a number of council officers who may assist the panel during the course of the public hearing or afterwards, and who may be called upon to answer any questions that arise from any of the presentations as well. When you are called to speak, I request that you do so in a respectful manner without making any negative comments towards council officers or panel members. And we are interested to know the issues that concern you, but please confine yourself to the issues and, as I say, not undertake any personal attacks. The one item on the agenda today is to deal with DA 2020/741/1, which is for the demolition of existing structures and the construction of a two-storey mixed-use building with rooftop terraces incorporating three commercial tenancies and a cafe, as well as some at-grade parking, landscaping and civil works, and that's for the property at 19 Edward Street, Camden. The panel has been briefed by the council officers on the application. The panel, including myself, are familiar with this location in Camden, having considered, I think all of us have sat on other applications in this pocket of the Camden commercial area in the B4 mixed use zone. So we've in pre-COVID times, we have walked the streets. We know Edward Street, Elizabeth Street, Mitchell Street, and we have been to some of the properties in and around this location. So we do have quite a bit of knowledge entering into this public meeting today. Nonetheless, we're interested to hear from both the objectors and the applicants team in relation to this application to assist us in the decision-making process. All panel members have already signed a declaration that they have no conflict of interest in relation to this matter, but I will just, for the purpose of this public meeting, go around the individual members of the panel to confirm that publicly. I confirm that I have no conflict of interest in relation to this matter. Rachel?
I have no conflict of interest in relation to this matter either.
Thank you. Grant?
I have no conflict of interest.
Thank you. And Debbie? You're on mute, Debbie.
Mute. Can you hear me?
Got you.
Okay, I have no conflict of interest in this matter.
Thank you. We have for this item today 11 speakers registered to speak, seven objecting to the development, so in effect are in support of the recommendation for refusal from the council officers, and four speakers supporting the approval of the application, so effectively are in opposition to the recommendation. I'll call the speakers as they appear on the list that I've been given. I won't run through all of the speakers at the moment. We'll just, all of the names, we'll just hear from them. Hopefully you'll be online and we can hear from you direct. I think there was one or two that we were waiting to hear from, but nonetheless we'll proceed based on the list that I have in front of us. So I'll ask each person to speak. You have a maximum of 5 minutes to address the panel, and we'll deal with the objectors first and then hear from the applicant team. When you are finished your presentation, just pause for a moment because the panel may have questions of you, and I'll just ask the panel at the end of each address whether that is the case. All right, just finally, before I launch into the people addressing the panel, after we've heard from all presentations today, the panel will then, I will close the public meeting and the panel will consider its position in relation to the application, and that decision will be published on the council's website following the meeting. Okay, first person on my list is Diane Fernandes. Are you there, Diane? I can see you're there, Diane. Well, you're showing up as being available.
Hello.
There we are.
Hello.
Got you.
Okay.
Please.
Well, that took me, gave me a shock.
Good. Okay. Sorry about that.
Will I speak now? Definitely. Will I speak now?
Got you. Yeah, please proceed.
Okay. Thank you for this opportunity. It took me off guard being first. Firstly, I speak as a resident, and as a gerontologist that's interested in the social side of things. So, but firstly, I'd say the council staff is to be commended for adhering to the rules in regard to this development application. And in doing so, it's shown the developers that this type of building is not in keeping with the building codes and not a suitable design for the heritage protected area of Camden. And the people of Camden will be very happy with this ruling from the council staff and feel more confident that all the community consultation has been worth it and they are being listened to. The people of Camden and the Friends of Camden identify with the rural heritage charm of Camden. And, you know, they have something so different to the surround, to have something so different as this to the surrounding area would be out of place. And, you know, the type of architectural style is not really suited to a heritage area, and it would probably be seen as a challenge to the architect to put something more in keeping with the heritage styles. There's much history in our local area, and the architecture is part of the history. Visitors come here to see the charm of our village and admire the rural type setting along with the architectural history of the buildings. Then I'll go on to the social side of it, where citizens have a sense of belonging and place to their buildings and surroundings. And this type of building will cause citizens to lose their sense of place and belonging and ownership. to where they live and their sense of place. And I welcome the opportunity to commend Council again for their refusal, as they're standing by what has been put there to guide architectural designs. And thank you very much for this opportunity to speak.
Good. Thank you, Diane. Was there any questions of Diane from the panel members?
No, Mr. Chair.
No, nothing. Good. There's nothing from me, so thank you very much.
No. Okay. You're welcome. Thank you again.
Thank you. If you could go on to mute again. Thanks. Thank you. The next speaker on my list is Glenda Davis on behalf of the Camden Residents Action Group. You there, Glenda?
Hello.
Hello. I can see your name is coming up on the screen, Glenda, but you appear to be on mute. Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Gotcha.
Oh, good. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Pleased
to
speak.
Thanks for the opportunity. Yep. Thank you. Today I speak on behalf of Camden Residents Action Group, and we support and applaud the recommendation to refuse this DA. All council studies and strategies, as well as the LEP and DCP, which adopts the borough charter and the town's urban design framework, are unequivocal about protecting Camden's heritage and that any development in its heritage conservation area should enhance it. Unfortunately, the community has become cynical, as so many developers seemingly do not read these documents. They put forward non-compliant applications that disrespect the fabric and degrade Camden's unique sense of place. The supporting DA documentation often cannot address compliance with the protective controls, and so are full of leafy artists' impressions, assertions and opinion with little, if any, evidence-based analysis. This case is no exception. In particular, the heritage impact statement is inadequate. It does not address the DCP control that existing cottage-dominated streetscapes must be retained, and the Land and Environment Court planning principle that the contributory value of the cottage is derived from the significance of the conservation area itself and is not dependent on whether it is individually listed. No justification is made for demolition of the extant cottage, which is clearly contributory to the fabric and history of the town. Its adaptive reuse has not even been considered. We argue that demolition has not and cannot be justified, and this is an additional reason why the DA should be refused. Otherwise, we completely agree with the agenda report. The proposal does not properly address the flood affectation and an overland flood flow path at the rear of the site. The height exceedance, the visual bulk, scale and form are not justified. The privacy and heritage impacts are completely unacceptable. The inclusion of a rooftop terrace and the elevated walkway is unreferenced and anomalous in the heritage conservation area. The coverage of most of the site with buildings and hardstand is not contributory to Camden's identity as a rural town, as required by the urban design framework. We take issue with attempts to use artists' impressions of unlikely and currently non-existent landscaping and trees to visually link the development with adjacent cottages and hide the impact of the mass roofline and overt glazing. We do understand why some developers try their luck with non-compliant DAs. Sites in the heritage conservation area are relatively cheap due to heritage and flooding constraints. However, our group is often asked by the community that cannot answer why clearly inappropriate DAs are exhibited given their waste of everyone's time. Although the community resents having to fight these DAs sometimes over years, their proponent should note that the community will always do battle. The town's unique character is highly valued, and the future of an irreplaceable window into Australia's European history is at stake. Confidence in the planning system is also at stake. Most people take note of the planning instruments and make investment and life decisions accordingly. They never consider trying to outmaneuver the rules, which are there to promote order and certainty for all. Breaking them without transparent justification due to specific circumstances is seen by the community as unfair and not in the public interest. There are no specific circumstances in this case, and the impact of this proposal cannot be justified. This DA has the potential to set a dangerous precedent, which would likely cause a developer frenzy of demolition of cottages that will destroy the town's historic development pattern and fabric, which are intrinsic to its heritage significance. This cumulative effect must be considered and the right message sent that this is a heritage conservation area to be protected, not an opportunity to be exploited. So we totally support and the recommendation and trust that it will be, the refusal will be upheld. Thank you.
Thanks, Glenda. What I might do with this matter and with all of the speakers is ask the my colleagues on the panel to just raise your hand if you have a question rather than me taking time to go around to each of you.
Yep.
So
yep.
On the basis that no one is raising their hand, we'll move on to the next speaker. Thank you. Thanks. Next speaker is David Nethercote. Again, David, I can see you're online there. Good, thank you. Got you.
Hello.
Yes, we've got you. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Thank you for the opportunity to address the panel. I'm speaking in support of Council's recommendation to reject the above DA regarding the demolition and erection of a new development at 19 Edward Street, Camden. When the proposed development was first exhibited, I, along with many others, submitted my written objection to Council. My address today makes 2 points in support of Council's recommendation and suggests a reuse of the current dwelling. My objections are firstly the design itself and proposed materials, and secondly its intrusive impact on neighbouring dwellings. Designs within or even close to the Heritage Conservation Area, the HCA, need to reference nearby buildings in a sympathetic and harmonious manner. This requirement would seem obvious. If a whole bundle of new and extraneous designs are allowed to flourish in a heritage area, soon enough it is not just the dwellings that disappear, but the whole integrity of the precinct. It will become heritage in name only until it finally becomes indistinguishable from any other modern development. The reason people want to live and work in Camden is precisely because it has largely retained its 19th century designs and dimensions and various 20th century domestic architectural styles, creating its particular ambience. These are major points of difference. The current design not only lacks any attempt to cohere, it actively militates against that ambience. The design and materials nominated here are indifferent to the heritage area, almost to the point of provocation. It is this sense of indifference or provocation that extends to its attitude to neighbours. There is an unwarranted intrusion of solar access, so one new building not only greedily swallows up far more than its fair share of sunlight, but deprives the surrounds of what they rightly treasure as their reasonable entitlement, and it is an invasion of their privacy. Rather than demolish the existing dwelling, consideration should be given to adapting the dwelling to reuse it as a business. This has been successful elsewhere in the Camden HCA and would leave the streetscape and the established small-scale building undisrupted. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you, David. Again, I'm not seeing any hands from my colleagues, so thank you for your presentation. Our next speaker is Sue Cross. I can see you're online, Sue. Thank you.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we've got you. Thank you. Please proceed.
Okay. Okay, my name is Sue Cross and I live in Edward Street, suburbs, in 2016 and found my forever home. I fell in love with the character and heritage of Camden. I did all the due diligence. I read all the policies and checked my understanding about what it meant to own a property in the heritage conservation area. I was assured that I could not be built out, high rise was not possible, and that the cottage and rural character of the town and Edward Street was part of its protected heritage significance. I felt confident I had made the right decision. However, since then, I have been besieged with DAs that are non-compliant with the rules. I do not understand why they are accepted. For instance, the appalling non-compliant one in the street behind me in Elizabeth Street, now in the Land and Environment Court, is outstandingly non-compliant and has wasted a lot of my time. I'm also appalled by this latest proposed development. So far, I have felt let down by the planning system. Surely applications should follow the rules and be compliant before they can be considered. It's really not fair. It causes a lot of stress when you live in close proximity to the sites and can see your well-considered future in Camden being destroyed. So I would like to congratulate the author of the agenda report for doing such a great job in spelling out the protections of the heritage conservation area and recommending refusal. It sends a powerful message to all those developers who try to make a killing by overriding the planning rules at the expense of those happily using the cottages, not to mention Camden's significant heritage. The only thing I would add to the agenda report is that as far as I can see, there is no reason to demolish the cottage and that its loss should be a reason for refusal. It seems to me that the heritage impact statement should include justification, which it doesn't, for destroying part of Edward Street and changing its character, which is important to the conservation area. There are a number of businesses in Edward Street using the cottages. That, as far as I understand, is what is meant to happen because it conserves the low-scale domestic character and Camden's heritage. It would appear this architect is wanting to redesign Camden, as very similar designs can be found for several other developments in the old areas. The community does not want Camden reinvented. Edward Street is made of single-storey cottages, all much lower in height than what is proposed, and they do not take up the whole site. The proposed design is modern, with too much angled glass and not in keeping with the original post-war dwellings. Also, there seems to be a huge issue with overlooking of other properties, especially from the raised walkway and rooftop terrace, which are ludicrous in a conservation area. There are no good outcomes with this proposal. I ask the panel to please refuse this DA. Thank you.
Thanks, Sue. Again, I've got no hands in the air from my colleagues. I just want to address one of the points that you raised, and I think one of the earlier speakers raised, was a criticism that the council shouldn't even be accepting applications that are non-compliant. That's not a matter for the council. If a development application is made in the correct form, in other words, it meets all the submission requirements, it can be as outrageous in your mind or anyone else's mind as you think, but as long as it's a legally made application, the council is obliged to accept it. It might not welcome it, it might not support it, but it is legally obliged to take it across the counter, so to speak. So that's not a reasonable criticism to direct at the council officers. So I'll just make that point.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, the next speaker is Jim Davis. And Jim, I can see you're there online. If you could. Good, thank you.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much. My name is Jim Davis. I am the joint owner of three heritage listed properties near the proposed development site. One is Nepean House, our family home, and one of Camden's oldest and most significant private dwellings. Its backyard curtilage includes 23 Edward Street, two doors down from the subject site. The other two are the 19th century cottages at 7 and 9 Mitchell Street. I moved to Camden over 40 years ago, attracted by its heritage character, and I strongly support the development controls that have specifically been put in place by Council to preserve the character of the heritage conservation area. As such, I fully support the recommendation from Council to refuse this DA. It does not comply with relevant planning control. In particular, it will have an adverse effect on the privacy of my backyard and is incompatible with the distinctive cottage streetscape of Edward Street. As shown in my submission to Council, the first floor offices, the first floor terrace and the rooftop terrace will provide distinct vantage points overlooking my backyard and those of other near neighbours. Planting shrubs on the roof is no guarantee that privacy will be preserved and is no excuse to allow these vantage points to be created. Additionally, there is no pretext for planting on the southern or the Mitchell Street side or the rooftop terrace. It is interesting to note that the latest amended architectural plans show views over 17 Edward Street and 21 Edward Street, in other words, neighbours on both sides, from the communal terrace, and over 17 Edward Street from the rooftop terrace. But there is no view shown from the rooftop terrace to the south over 21 Edward Street and 23 Edward Street. This is because there is no screening on that side and no protection of privacy at all. The insistence, contrary to pre-DA requirements, of incorporating a rooftop terrace into the design has meant that this proposal has effectively introduced an open-air third floor story, with its floor level being at the height of the top ridge line of surrounding cottage roofs. The implication on privacy of introducing such a high vantage point is obvious, and it is against the stated privacy objectives of the height limit standard of 7 metres, as is inscribed in the LEP. My other main concern is more general and relates to the impact of this design on the heritage conservation area. The height scale Balkan form is incompatible with the existing and desired character of Edward Street and is well covered in the agenda paper and by other speakers, so I won't go into any further detail. However, I would like to make the point that Edward Street is an intact cottage streetscape, and the removal of the 19 Edward Street cottage and its replacement by this modern two-storey overdevelopment will inevitably be the first step in the destruction of the cottage streetscape character of Edward Street. Currently, we have two nearby properties for sale at 15 Edward Street and 6 Elizabeth Street. The Elizabeth Street site is a large one of 3/4 acre and is therefore attractive to developers. If this DA is approved, we will no doubt see more properties on the market to cash in on the inevitable demand from developers. As we have seen from previous DA submissions and council papers, precedent forms a huge part of the approval process, with examples being consistently quoted from decades ago. To have a precedent under the current planning rules created by approving this proposal would, I believe, be a green light for many more, and over time, Edward Street would completely lose its cottage streetscape. This is not why the Heritage Conservation Area was created and is not part of Council's vision for the historic part of Camden. As such, I submit that this DA be refused. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Jim. There's no questions from the panel. Thank you. Next speaker is Fletcher Joss. Again, I can see you're online, Fletcher.
Thank you. Yeah, can you hear me? Great. Thank you for allowing me to speak to you this afternoon. I wish you to accept the recommendations of the council officers and refuse his application. I think the officers' recommendations has captured the essence of the relevant environmental planning instruments, and the arguments in the report leave the panel no alternative but to refuse the application. I want to look past the technical details. I would like to suggest that planning outcomes should be predictable. When I moved to Camden, getting onto nearly 40 years ago, I looked at the flood maps and one of the attractions was the floodplain, which meant there always would be green space around Camden and minimal development in much of the town, largely because of poor planning decisions in the 1840s, which put large parts of the town well under the flood planning level. I've seen nothing in this application which addresses those concerns about the costs imposed on the community of building under the flood planning level, things like insurance, and undoubtedly the building will submerge and there will be costs to tenants, all in the future, probably not for the current developers. But there's that to it. I don't see why we should perpetuate the bad planning decisions. I think the flood planning policies that Camden Council have basically restrict development and recognise that a decision, poor decision was made some time ago. The other thing I note is that the Land and Environment Court has published planning principles. One of those is called demolition of contributory items. And this planning principle contains a series of questions which should be addressed when assessing whether demolition in a heritage conservation area should be permitted. It could be the decision of the court could be read that a demolition cannot be assumed. In fact, demolition may not be prohibited simply because the building is in a heritage conservation area. There are a whole host of reasons in that judgment. And I asked the panel to consider the demolition in light of those Land and Environment Court planning principles. I'll also go on to suggest that there's a public expectation that there should be minimal demolition in the heritage conservation area. There shouldn't be some sort of gradual replacement of every bit bar a few nominated items. The general expectation is the area will basically stay as it is. In fact, the point of the HCA is to preserve the whole area for the benefit of everyone, not just from a heritage perspective, but from an economic perspective. But Camden gets a lot of its income from tourism. If we destroy the heritage conservation, a unique part of it, then that will go at the cost to everyone. Put it in context, the Camden HCA is around 2 square kilometres, and it's unique within the Greater Sydney area. This Greater Sydney area is about 12,000 square kilometres. I'd suggest surely we can apply rigorous controls to less than 0.02% of our region. And finally, one other point I'd like to make is I asked the panel not to approve the application with conditions. I've seen a couple of recent approvals by this panel where there were specific conditions imposed and quite reasonable, but the developers ignored those conditions and the council has yet to enforce the compliance. So if the panel does decide to permit it, I think it should actually force the development application to reflect everything and not just impose conditions. That's all I've got to say. Thanks.
Thanks, Fletcher. There's no questions from the panel. Thank you for your presentation. The final speaker by way of objection to the development application is Jo O'Brien.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, we've got you. Please proceed, Jo.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak at this meeting today. I support the council officer's recommendation to refuse this proposal for 19 Edward Street, Camden. I thank the council officers who prepared this report. It is an impressive and thorough analysis of the problems presented by this proposal. I also acknowledge their careful consideration of public sentiment and the community submissions. I have lived in the area for nearly 20 years and I am an active member of the Camden Historical Society and the Family History Society. I am deeply appreciative of the living history and heritage that is so evident in Camden Township. The town retains the many layers of its history and its heritage places and streetscape. It is truly unique and a very special part of our nation's history. I know this feeling is shared by many locals and visitors are in awe of what we still have in Camden. My increasing concern, however, is for the future of Camden. With all of the new commercial, office, government and retail space coming in the growth areas, the viability of the town centre is in danger. Camden cannot compete with the size and scale and newness of these places. It has to focus on its point of difference, its country town atmosphere, cultural and heritage tourism, and as a centre for gourmet and fresh food. Anything that detracts from this is a threat to Camden's future. I have recently made several submissions against oversized and inappropriate proposals for new developments in this block of the Heritage Conservation Area. It is concerning that there have been so many attempts to break the planning rules here. It is of particular importance with its pivotal location between the town centre and surrounding farmland. Its post-war cottages are an important part of the continuous history of Camden, and their reuse is the preferred option. The proposed development at 19 Airwood Street will detract from the heritage conservation area. The development is over the height limit, covers most of the site, and it is too bulky. It overlooks neighbours, particularly via the two rooftop terraces. It is close to the boundaries, it blocks few corridors and would dominate its surrounds. There is a large building where there should be a backyard. The plantings should obviously be in the ground rather than on the roof. The parking area is congested and it has compromised access. It contravenes a number of council's rules, plans and documents. There is no reason that these rules could not be adhered to. There is a considerable flood risk on this block which has not been adequately addressed. There is a likelihood of adverse flood impacts on other properties. Common sense would indicate that this is not a good place to build a substantial new building. New buildings are part of Camden's living history, but in this case it would certainly be preferable to have adaptive reuse of the existing cottage, which appears to be in very good condition. When a new building does replace an old one in a heritage conservation area, however, the rules must be carefully followed. Growth exceptions should not be permitted, particularly where they significantly impact on the heritage look and feel of Camden. With the pace of new development to the north accelerating of late, this area of Sydney is undergoing an overwhelming change. In many cases, these new areas have completely lost their history in the rush, with perhaps only one converted historic building and the street names to remind them of what once had been. Camden, with its many historic buildings, original town layout and heritage conservation area, is a much needed contrast and balance to these new areas. Many of the area's new residents come to Camden specifically to enjoy this authentic heritage and country town experience. I will continue to advocate for Camden, its history, its ongoing heritage and its future. New businesses are welcome, but the wishes of a developer should not be put ahead of the established rules, the area's history, the local community, and the viability of the town of Camden. I ask the local planning panel to support the council officer's recommendation and reject this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Again, there's no questions from the panel, so thank you for your presentation.
Great, thank you.
Though the seven speakers are in objection to the DA, I'll now go to the speakers on behalf of the applicant. And I understand, I've been told that you're all together. So that's Joseph Mamone, James Phillips, and Mark San Angelo. Is that correct? Joseph, I can see you're online.
Yes, that's correct.
I hope I'll pronounce your surname correctly.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Good. And you're all together, is that correct?
Yes, I've got Mark, the landscape architect, and James, the heritage consultant, and myself, the architect.
Good, okay. Are you all going to speak?
Myself, I'll speak first, and then James will have some comments, and Mark, the landscape architect, is available for any questions.
Yep, okay, that's fine. All right, so you're going to lead off. So there's two speakers, and Mark's available for questions as well. So Between the two of you, you've got an allocation of 10 minutes.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Yep, please proceed.
Thanks for the opportunity. First, just like to mention the town planners have prepared a written submission to the report prepared by council for the reasons of refusal. They've been provided to you prior to this meeting.
Yeah. Just interrupt you there, sorry, but just to confirm that that written submission was provided to the panel by council officers. Yes, so we have that correspondence. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. And that submission, I guess, addresses the concerns raised by council and is requested that the determination not be refused as recommended by council staff, and instead the application be approved subject to conditions or deferred to provide opportunity for amendments to the plan as per the local planning panel recommendations. I'd like to go on to discuss the design approach as the lead architect for the application for you today. This design application was prepared with the knowledge and insight gained as the project architects for the application of 11 Mitchell Street, Camden. The rigorous design process undertaken with consultants, heritage experts, and collaboration with council resulted in a recommendation for approval and was endorsed by the local planning panel bid last year. As noted on numerous occasions within the report prepared by council, the 11 Mitchell Street design embodied the desired characteristics of infill development. Therefore, the fundamental principles of design, which are believed to reflect the desired future character of the new development within the Heritage Conservation Area, have been used as a guide for the preparation of this application. We strongly believe the proposed built form is consistent with the adopted pattern of infill and redevelopment in the Heritage Conservation Area. The design maintains the existing heritage streetscape and reinforces the prevailing character, including roof pitch, form, materials, bulk and scale, fencing styles, and front and side setbacks. The design commenced with a thorough streetscape and context analysis. Key elements which inform the architectural character and built form trends of Edward Street in particular have been identified and analysed in isolation. The trends found from these key ideas have then formed the basis of the approach to the site, which include the articulation and proportions of the front facades. The proposal sympathetically uses colours, architectural elements, vertical proportion windows, pitched roof, gabled roof forms, front veranda, which are all in keeping and key elements of the heritage and non-heritage buildings in the immediate vicinity. Mass and form. The proposed development adopts a series of gabled roof forms. From its Edward Street frontage, a prominent gable is articulated for the use of brick and glazing on street level. Further set back, the upper level is formed by two gable roof forms. As all dwellings along Edward Street consist of a hip or a gabled roof form. Prominent placement of openings and proportions. The openings have been designed in line with the existing trends along Edward Street of a window-door-window arrangement and their proportions, yet also provide a point of interest, interaction, and visual connection to the street. Siding. The rear building of the site is characterised by hip roof to be in keeping with the conservation area. The rear building, while being two storeys, is not considered to dominate the streetscape through the use of side and rear setbacks, low-pitched roof form, a mix of materials. Further, the separation of the building reduces the scale of the site and preserves sight lines to existing heritage properties. Landscaping. The development proposes a generous inclusion of landscaping within the site. The landscape design prepared by renowned local landscape architects, which have taken cues from the local trends of landscaping, as well as responding to the mature tree on site. The proposed development provides a large street setback, a deep landscape setback from the front boundary. This ensures the building is well aligned with the existing streetscape. All mature trees have been retained and further enhanced with soft landscaping around. The proposal places the existing mature tree on site as a focal point of a large landscape area running the length of the side boundary, creating a large, generous landscape view corridor. Due to the location of numerous outbuildings characterised within the area, as well as minimal to no landscape existing on commercial properties in the immediate context, there's no established an existing landscape corridor along the rear property. To conclude, fitting well within the existing identified trends of Edward Street, the proposed commercial development is a physical manifestation of the historic built forms and proportions seen within Camden area. The application demonstrates a sympathetic infill development of a commercial building within evolving locale of the Camden Heritage Conservation Area. We kindly request that the application not be refused and said approved or deferred to further amend the plans as per comments from the planning panel. Thank you. Also have James available just to make comment.
Yeah, by all means. James, did you want to address the panel now?
Thank you very much. I'm James Phillips and we're Phillips Heritage and Planning. We did the heritage work on this proposal. My comments are that this is a well-mannered proposal to sit within the conservation area. We see, as the architect has pointed out, that it's well-proportioned. It doesn't seek to mimic the early heritage period of Camden, and in doing so it has to strike out and have a certain boldness about it. It's set in an immediate surrounding area of post-war cottages that are on the very edge of what the conservation area is all about, and the conservation area is about the earlier period of Camden. And Council's looking at this as becoming a mixed-use zone, or it is a mixed-use zone, and so a mixed-use typology has got to fit in here. I think the architect has done well to maintain the proportions, landscaping, and give good amenity, and I commend the scheme to you.
Good, thanks, James. All right, thanks Joseph and James, if that's the formal presentation from you, from the applicant's team, I'll just now throw open to the panel whether they have any questions of either Joseph or James or Mark for that matter. Grant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just had a question about the car parking rates that have been applied. And I'm just trying to find it in the report and I can't at the moment, but as I recall, what I read last night was that the position is that the applicant says there is only a need for 9 car parking spaces on the basis of assessing the net leasable area of the development. Is that correct? And on that basis, it's only 9, whereas council says it's 12 spaces required. Do I understand that proposition correctly?
Yeah, that's correct.
And so why do you say the council should apply a different standard than usually accepted standard?
Yeah, so not apply different, it's just, so it's acknowledged and a justification is provided that a shortfall of parking is provided, is there. It's just versus the net lettable versus gross floor area. The development has areas which are in internal areas which are in common use for tenants, such as a communal boardroom, communal lunch facilities and amenities, which add to gross floor area, but not not additional lettable area in terms of adding further occupants or users in the space. So that's where that rationale was from. So not disagreeing with the calculations. They are correct. That's just the position and the justification for that.
Okay, very, very well. Thanks. That's all I had, Mr. Chair.
Thanks, Grave. Any further questions from panel members of the applicant's team?
No.
Okay, thank you. Council officers, Claire or Jamie, were you wanting to respond to any matters that have been made? Don't feel obliged to speak. I'm just giving you the opportunity if there was anything you wanted to respond to or clarify in the public meeting.
No, thank you, Chair. I don't believe there's anything that needs to be responded to by council staff.
All right, thank you. All right, thanks everybody for your contribution. Now, I said at the outset of the meeting that we would close, well, that I would close the meeting and the panel will consider its position, and that will be published on the council's website, the determination of the matter. And that, I'm just seeking confirmation, if someone could help me, in the period in which that will be published.
48 hours,
did you say? Yeah, thank you. All right. Thank you. There's a lot, although it's a single application, it's quite complex. There are a layer upon layer of issues that the panel will need to consider. And we'll take our time doing that. But thank you all for your contributions that you've made to the panel. The panel will now stay online collectively with council officers to go through that process. And we'll bid farewell to all of those that have addressed the panel today. Thank you.